It's my hope, besides making it just a readable story, to educate people about many of the things that went underneath the radar for the Holocaust. So it's both educational and hopefully inspiring.
That's Scott Eveloff, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. Scott Eveloff is a retired physician and novelist. His previous award-winning horror novel was Do Not Resuscitate, and he joins us to talk about his latest novel, The Golem's Holocaust. Scott, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, this new novel incorporates both Holocaust history and Jewish mythology. Why did you decide to put those two together to make this novel?
Basically, because I'm fascinated by both. I'm fascinated by history's mysteries. And as you saw in my previous book, I also am very interested in folklore, supernatural, and, you know, the golem is out of Jewish folklore, and it's a creature designed to protect the Jewish people at times of peril, but it has only rarely been put in the Holocaust, which is obviously the time of greatest Jewish peril. So I wanted to basically incorporate that kind of character in the Holocaust, which, again, I have trouble wrapping my mind around how something like that could even happen. So I used the book also to reimagine why it might have happened and to explain things in it.
Well, tell us about the story here that readers are going to find in The Golem's Holocaust.
It takes place in 1942. The protagonist is a young Jewish teenage girl who was swept up as her family was conquered by the Nazis, and she was sent to a concentration camp and lined up and massacred along with everybody else, but she was only wounded. She fell into a pit, and thinking she was going to die, she resurrected some of her mother's stories about the golem, which was a fairy tale told to her. She followed the directions. She scooped up the blood-soaked muck at the bottom of the execution pit, chanted the incantations that her mother taught her in hopes of raising the golem. And the golem did emerge, rescued her. And then it follows Shayna, that was the girl's name, as the golem takes her away, restores her. And then she's actually captured by some Polish vigilantes when the golem is out foraging. And the rest of the story is the golem tracking her, since protecting its creator and its people as part of its destiny. It tracks her across Nazi-occupied Europe, finally winds up in the Treblinka concentration camp. And I reimagine that actual revolt through the eyes of the golem as it participates in the rebellion at that camp.
For those who may not be familiar with the folklore here, tell us more about the golem and its history in terms of folklore.
The original golem story comes out of Prague, which also occupies a place in the story, which I'll get to in a second. Basically, it's a creature out of Jewish folklore. It is supposed to be created out of the earth, raised to a sort of a mindless creature whose only goal is to protect the Jewish people. And according to the legend, it actually ran amok after defeating the people who had threatened the Jews. This is back in the 1500s. It actually just started rampaging, and the rabbi who created it had to kill it. And there's an incantation to kill it as well as to raise it. So that's basically the legend, and it's appeared in certain stories since then in modern times. But it did, as I said, arise out of Prague as a Jewish protecting folklore legend, and then ran amok.
But your golem is different from what you find in the mythology. So tell us a bit about how you evolved the golem in your story.
My golem is nuanced. First of all, the original golem, again, is this hulking, mindless creature. And actually, as an aside, Mary Shelley used the Gollum story to create her Frankenstein. But I wanted to nuance it. So the mud that my Gollum is created from is actually invested with the blood of all the Jews who were massacred. And so it takes on all the souls and all the feelings of all these massacred Jews. And it's manifested because its features constantly change, reflecting the Jewish souls within it, which is not something that the original Gollum did. So not only does it change its physical appearance, it also is invested with more humanity and self-awareness than the original Gollum. So it's quite a bit nuanced, and it gives me the opportunity to show its character arc, which most creatures in stories don't have. So it grew, it learned, it incorporated everything around it while preserving its destiny to protect its creator and the Jewish people.
The Gollum has a name. Tell us about the significance of that name.
One other piece of the original Gollum folklore is across its forehead is written the Hebrew letters Emet, Aleph Mem Tav, which in Hebrew stands for truth, all right? And that's all part of it. And that's what my Gollum has too. So I guess I'm not giving something away, but the way to kill the Gollum is to take out the first letter that's inscribed in its forehead, and that gives the Hebrew word met, which is death. And so truth becomes death. The Gollum's life is the way to kill it. And so my Gollum, you know, kind of arises from the earth really very naive and not knowing. And it's asked what its name is. And it says Emmet, okay, because that's what's written on the forehead. Well, Emmet in German means strength. So the first part of it, it feels like its name is Emmet, E-M-M-E-T-T, and then it changes to Emmet, which is Hebrew for truth. And eventually that proves to be its undoing as the Nazi who pursues it learns that that is the way to eventually kill it. So that's how the name Emmet came to be.
And I want to talk about that Nazi character in just a moment. But first of all, let's talk a bit more about Shayna. She goes through unspeakable horrors and traumas. How do you kind of keep her together emotionally as she goes through all of these things?
It really is based on the fact that out of this horror comes a protector, comes someone she can count on, this Gollum creature. And again, sort of like in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, where the little girl is not afraid of the creature. Well, Shayna actually comes to trust this big hulking creature that wreaks havoc everywhere else, and it gives her a sense of security. Unfortunately, then they become separated, and like many of the Jews and Romani and everybody else who fell under Nazi conquest, her mind, her emotions are inundated by all the cruelty around her. So at the very end in the concentration camp, she does come close to succumbing to the horrors, but then again, she finds that she can count on her Gollum.
Now, there's a character, Klaus, the Nazi, in this story. You know, you had to have sort of an enemy here for the book, but why was it important to sort of tell the story from his point of view?
Because I think every meaningful story can't be just about the good guy triumphing. I mean, you need to, I think, need to show both sides, the villain, the protagonist, and also it allows the reader insight into the philosophy that drove all the real Nazis. And so it was part educational on my part for the reader to get inside the mind of someone I consider to be representative of the entire Nazi regime, you know, as well as to provide a balance of antagonists and protagonists in terms of character development and inside story. So I just wanted to make it a more full story, not just focusing on the good. And I think that makes it more interesting.
Well, this is a story, of course, you want to engage your listeners and give them a good story. But you touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, beyond just being an engaging read, what do you hope that readers are going to take from this story?
Certain events, actually, all the events and many of the characters are actual characters and events. For example, there's someone named Reinhard Heydrich, who, to many people's surprise, was the actual architect of the Holocaust, not Eichmann, not Hitler. It was Reinhard Heydrich. He was actually assassinated in Prague, and there was a movie made about it called Operation Anthropoid, starring Cillian Murphy. And so what I did is I actually, and there's some mysteries regarding why he actually died after the assassination attempt. So I put my golem inside that story and reimagined that in the eyes of the golem. Reinhard Heydrich, the Treblinka concentration camp, the infamous Wannsee conference where the final solution was generated, all that's true. And so it's my hope, besides making it just a readable story, to educate people about many of the things that went underneath the radar for the Holocaust. So it's both educational and hopefully inspiring. And that was my goals, is to show that the Jewish people weren't always just sheep that were herded to their deaths by the Nazi. There was true heroism, true rebellion. And I also wanted to educate people about aspects of the Holocaust that, again, have flown under the radar, but I think need to be known to people.
I'm curious also about why it was important for you to tell this story and why you think it has a message for people today.
I don't know if it's because I'm Jewish or just inquisitive. Again, to have such profound hatred that spread across an entire continent to a people who did nothing to deserve it, I just have trouble imagining why and how that could happen. And so it was in part to just satisfy my own wonder at the horror and how it could have happened. But, you know, why is it important today? I think it's very relevant today. I think whether you are pro-Israel, anti-Israel, pro-Zion, pro-Palestinian, you know, the world is wrapped up in a new horror of Gaza and now the Iran war, and there's rising anti-Semitism, and so and there's rising Holocaust denial. And so I did it also in part to bring to life the need to know that something that happened 80 to 90 years ago can still in some degree happen today, and to, you know, again, make people aware of that, as well as, again, to satisfy my own curiosity about how something like that could happen.
Well, this current novel is The Golem's Holocaust. What's next for you?
I've actually had two other books recently accepted for publication by another publisher. One is another medical thriller, and one is a nonfiction book about my son, Andrew, where I hope to educate both parents and peers. So as with most authors, I just have a need to write. I have a need to express myself and to get my message out. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. And I hope it's appreciated by some people out there.
Again, this latest novel is The Golem's Holocaust by Scott Eveloff. Scott, thank you for talking with me today.
Dan, I truly appreciate your interest and your help in getting my messages out. I do appreciate it.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.